I switched preaching weekends with Deacon Corey. I told him for the past 12 years, I've always had the third Sunday of Advent, which is Rejoice Sunday. I said, I'm tired of joy. I don't want joy anymore. You know, you take the joy. I'll take the fire and brimstone of John the Baptist today. That gospel we had, it reminded me about a time shortly after I became a lawyer, and I ran into a high school classmate at the county courthouse. He was an engineer. Like me, he had worked with someone for a while, and we were both kind of going off and starting our own thing. He had started his business, and, you know, we were reminiscing. I was asking where he lived and stuff, and he told me the town and the county, very small. Biggest town in the county was 2,000 people, you know. So I asked him, are you going to St. Francis Church there? And he said to me, oh, I don't believe in that stuff anymore, John. I only go to church because it's good for business. You know, I wish I could have seen the look on my face. You know, I was stunned. I realized it was like a flash how naive I have always been. I'd always thought if you were involved in a parish, you were sincere about your faith. It shook me up, you know, to realize there could be a few parishioners, you know, who aren't. They have their own agendas. They don't care about the parish or its people. They'll just use it. They're frauds. Snakes in the church. Or as John the Baptist said today, brood of vipers, huh? He attacks the Pharisees and the Sadducees for their phoniness, you know, acting religious in front of people, but corrupt on the inside. He attacks their insincerity, that they need to repent. They need to change their minds and their ways. Now, unlike my former friend at the courthouse, they believed in God, but they had deceived themselves into thinking they were still God's people just because they followed the rules that could be seen by others. They appeared to be models of religion, but it was superficial. Their faith didn't touch their hearts. They did not practice compassion, charity, mercy, and forgiveness, the virtues most important to God. They closed in on themselves. They became rigid, and they excluded other Jews who didn't think just like them. They got an earful from John when they arrived on the scene. His message is that salvation comes from good living, not belonging to the right group. Just like there's no guarantee of salvation for Christians just because we're baptized or go to church. That's where John still speaks to us today. We can fall into that same trap, go to Mass every weekend, communion, confession, and think we're model Catholics. We can make that mistake of thinking it's all about acting pious and saying prayers. But our faith is about much more than that. We're to be active followers of Jesus Christ, building up his kingdom through our daily encounters with other people. Otherwise, we bear no fruit. John the Baptist, pre-Christ, but he says much the same thing. He doesn't just criticize the Pharisees and Sadducees, he gives them a remedy. He says, produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. Their privileges are meant for service to others. John is preaching that God wants to penetrate our interior lives and renew us. Open up all the aspects of our lives so the Holy Spirit can purify, change, and renew us. John says the axe lies at the root of the trees. He's not just cutting down the bad trees, he's axing the root of the trees. John wants us to get down to the root causes of our personal problems that have become roadblocks to our discipleship. It's not so much about trying to change the world as it is the conversion of individuals who will eventually and together bring about that change, working to build God's kingdom on earth. This means examining things, examining our relationships in our blood family, in our parish family, in our social circles, our attitudes towards the poor and towards our enemies, even our sacred political assumptions. It's all fair game for God to enter into. John would have us ask ourselves questions like, what's unholy in my life that I keep hanging on to? What routines do I need to abandon? What do I have to let go of that I identify with? What do I think I'm entitled to? Who or what do I feel I have to control? What holds me back and puts a boundary on my relationship with God? What selfish habits and desires do I have to empty out? You know, repentance of this kind of scope, that gives God a free hand to work in our lives, and we're also saying, God, you can work in the lives of others. You know, God can then work through our words, our examples, our actions, and then we can bring that light of Christ into the lives of those around us. God has a future for us repentant sinners. Okay.